The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
So let me start the sermon, and we're going to do some things as we go through it. Well, while I'm thinking about it, at the mass prayer breakfast, our speaker is going to be Dr. Preston, St. Tammany Parish Coroner. And he's an amazing man. If you can make it to hear this, it'll be great. And we have the prayers of the Founding Fathers, and we're going to have food and just a really good time. And it's really exciting. Our mayor, I tell you, our new mayor has really taken everything up to another level. He's an amazing man of God. He really is. And he's excited about what God's doing in our community. He's not only proclaiming Slidell, but he's also proclaiming Jesus Christ. All right? So that's a good thing. Why do we celebrate? One of my favorite books in the Bible is the book of Nehemiah. I just like Nehemiah. And chapter 12, verse 27. At the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, remember Nehemiah was on a commission to rebuild the wall. Israel was in captivity, and he was given a commission to go back many years later to rebuild the wall. Ezra had rebuilt the temple, was in the process of that. So it said, at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, the Levites were sought out from where they live and were brought to Jerusalem to celebrate joyfully the dedication with songs of thanksgiving and with the music of cymbals and harps and lyres. Let's pray in Jesus' name. Father, we do thank you for your word preserved through the ages for us today. Your word is meat and drink to us. It nourishes our spirit. It fills us to the brim. It illuminates our pathway. So, Lord, let your word have your intended purpose for it today in our individual lives. And we thank you, Father, in the precious name of Jesus. And all the children said, amen, amen. Amen. In the scriptures, or recorded, as best I could determine, about 75 different occasions where celebrations took place. They took place when people were delivered out of hardship, hard times, just delivered from the hand of their enemy. They celebrated. When their enemies were defeated, they celebrated. When the work that they were doing, like in this case with Nehemiah, they celebrated. When sacrifices were made, they celebrated. When fasts were ended, they celebrated. Israel has a history of celebration. They had all of these feasts that they celebrated. There was remembrance. God is a celebratory God. He likes celebration. Remember when the prodigal son came home? It was great celebration. So when we celebrate, we're following a great pattern set out for us in the scriptures and also in the very heart of God himself, celebration. One day there'll be the greatest celebration you could ever imagine. That's when all the saints of God are gathered together and through the heavenly portal, and we will be with the Lord forevermore. They'll be dancing in the streets. We saw that video. They were dancing in the streets. Well, they were dancing on asphalt. We're going to be dancing on gold. You know, that'll be great celebration. So, as Christians, we ought to be celebrating and not be despondent. And look for things to celebrate. Things where you can give a praise to God. You may be just by yourself, but in an instant you know that God did something for you. Celebrate that moment. You don't need a group to celebrate, but have an attitude of celebration in your life. You know, it's so easy to look at the half-empty glass and get the, despondent about it. But the other way of looking is at the half full glass and rejoice in it. God is doing things all the time. It's in the book of, trying to think which one it is right now. I can't remember which one it is. But it's immaterial which one it is. But it was one of the things that God was upset with the people of Israel for. He said, what upset him is that he was doing things for them and they didn't recognize that it was him. We should be looking for things to be happy about. There's so much negative things in our world to drag us down that we should look for a place to celebrate. And so at the end of a fast is a good time to celebrate. We celebrate what God has done. Celebration turns our focus away from ourselves and onto God. We're thanking you. You know, every breath should be a celebration. Let every word out of our mouth be a celebration to God. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Thank you what you delivered us from. Thank you, Lord, that I can look to your hand. Thank you, Lord, that you will deliver me out of this situation. Be looking for reasons and ways to celebrate what God has done. When we do that, it's hard to be depressed when you're dancing like David. Not my brother-in-law, David, but David the king, all right? It's hard to be depressed if you celebrate. If you just let your body do things that are fun, like dancing, just, you know, tapping your feet, you know. You ever just tap your feet? You know, they had that thing, the movie with the King and I, it was a stage play, and it said, just whistle a happy tune. You know, just whistle. Just sing a song. Quote a scripture to yourself. Do things to encourage yourself in the Lord, and it'll change your attitude. If you can't just bring it up at a moment, go read Psalms. You can almost take and just open a book of Psalms anywhere, and you'll find something that will stir your heart and make you worship God. I was at the table the other day and just opened up to Psalms and just kind of randomly took Psalms and I started reading. They're very addicting. Psalms is addicting. It's hard to read one, and you start reading another, and you start reading another, and they go on and on, bringing up a spirit of praise and thanksgiving in our hearts. No, David's the one, and I quote it all the time. He said that we enter his gates with thanksgiving. Do we have a thankful heart? You know the old adage you used to have? My dad used to say it all the time. He said I used to complain because I didn't have any shoes until I met a man who had no feet. You know, things can always get worse. This is when you think you're at the bottom, things can bottom out, and something worse will show up. So look for the opportunities to praise God for where you are. You never know what tomorrow will bring. You know, hardship. So be prepared to be a person of celebration. It's hard to be down when your hands are raised to the Lord. One of the things that was a revolution in the church, the new church, began back in the late 60s and the early 70s when people started raising their hands in church. And it was really funny when we all went through that, you know, time of raising our hands. There was the raise your hands like this. You know, just kind of open your hand up and just kind of raise it a little. Because, you know, you didn't want anybody to see you. And there's something embarrassing about raising your hand. Now, we'll go to a Mardi Gras parade and raise your hands all the time, you know. Or you go to a football game or some sports event and raise your hands all the time. But in church, it's hard. But it's one of the most liberating things that you can do is to raise your hands to the Lord. And just get them on up there. I miss having two hands. This thing doesn't go up that high. So I miss being able to do that. But there's something about raising your hand and opening it to the Lord that liberates something inside of you. And it's an act of celebration, of praise, and rejoicing for what God has done. So not everybody needs to be that animated, but it says to lift your hands unto the Lord. So there's something that happens when you do that. And it really will move a heavy spirit from you, if you have a heavy spirit. Just, a good place to practice is at home. Put on some good Christian music. 103.7 FM on your radio dial will get you there if you don't have anything at home. And when you listen, just raise your hand in a praise song and just watch what happens. Things will change. Well, today at the end of our fast, I want to just give you a couple of thoughts about praising God and celebration. We celebrate because the work is finished. Nehemiah 12:43 said, "And on that day they offered great sacrifices, rejoicing because God had given them great joy. The women and the children also rejoiced. The sounds of rejoicing in Jerusalem could be heard far away." Now that was a party. That was a big party. When everybody was out in the streets, everyone was in the same spirit of celebration. It was so loud that it was heard far away. Now, I don't know how far away it is, but far away. You know, far enough away that others had heard it. We've been laboring in this fast. It's a labor to fast. It's not fun to fast. Anybody tells me they're having fun fasting, there's something wrong with that person. It's no fun. You know, as much as we tried to hide all the things that I like in the pantry, there's one of those little Dove chocolate candies, just about maybe a 3/4 inch square, and it's wrapped in colorful aluminum foil. There was one there that spoke to me for 21 days. I go in there thinking that something would come off the pantry that was edible, that I could eat, and that little red, bright red colored Dove candy just kept talking to me, you know. But here's the joy of it. You know what I did? I talked back to it.
Amen.
And I said no.
Oh, good.
I said no. And when I'd walk out the pantry, I'd feel a high, just a spiritual high, because I didn't give in to what the flesh wanted. It's not sinful. I can hate it. It's not a sin. I'm not worried about sin. I'm worried about denying myself and focusing on the Lord. And it was those little things. It's the small things that can encourage us when we're fasting or whatever it is that we're doing in life. To be thankful for things that you drop something, you have the ability to bend down and pick it up. Not everybody can do that. You know, the ability to just move about your home, ability to get in your car and drive. Just all of these things. But the work and the labor has been done. So we offer God a sacrifice of praise. We praise Him for what He's done. We thank Him for getting us through the fast. The labor is done. In Nehemiah, the labor was done, and they wanted to celebrate. Our sacrificial offering that we give includes rejoicing because God gives us joy. You notice that in the scripture? That they're rejoicing because God had given them great joy. You know, I've told you many times that we don't seek happiness, we seek joy. Happiness just depends on events. Joy is a sense of well-being. Knowing that in the midst of your worst day, God will take you out of it. How do you know God will take you out of your worst day? Because He's done it before. He's done it for countless people before. He's done it for people in the Scriptures. On their worst day, God showed up and delivered them out of it. Sometimes we say, well, I began to rejoice in the Lord, and things got worse. This is good. Because they're getting worse, they're going to get better. You know? Things will turn around. The Scripture says, He turned my mourning into dancing. He turned my mourning into dancing. Sometimes we need to encourage ourselves in the Lord and say, Lord, I refuse to be depressed. I refuse to be down. I refuse to let this sickness control me. It hurts. I've got pain. I know I don't want to have it, but I will not let that pain do that. Now, I'm going to tell you something I do. This is not for you. This is for me, but if you can garner something from it, garner it. I've been having trouble with my hand. Now, when you only got one hand, it's a problem. Something happens to this hand, you know, I'm in trouble.
Yeah, I'm in trouble.
Yes, she's in trouble. So I went to see the doctor, and he prescribed some medication for me to put on it. It's not a cure. It's a pain medicine. I read the little thing that the druggist gives you. If you had open heart surgery, don't use this stuff. If you have high blood pressure, don't do this stuff. If you've there's danger of stroke, and it goes on and on, even to death. And I said, are you kidding me? The doctor prescribed this stuff for me? It's just my hand hurting a little bit. You know, it's not drastic. And so I decided I'm not going to use that medication. So the tube is there. I know it'll give me a relief. In fact, I called another doctor. I called a primary doctor and asked him if I could take it. He said, oh, yeah, you can use it. Don't worry about it. They put that on all the medications now. And I've got a bottle of Advil next to it. Now, here's the point of all this. My hand's hurting, and I look at that tube. You say, no, I can get some relief. But you know what? I'd rather just trust the Lord and believe God. You know, I'd rather do that than take that pain medication. You know, I'll be going someplace and, you know, my hand will have pain in it. I say, well, I just take a couple of Advil. So I said, you know, I'd rather have the pain than the Advil. Because what it does, every time it hurts, you know what I do? I praise the Lord. I say, Lord, you're my healer. I believe you. I believe you're going to heal me. I believe that, and as a matter of fact, it's a lot better than it was. You know, just a very, I was going to come in today and tell you that during the fast my hand was completely healed, but that wouldn't be true. But I can tell you it's 95% better than it was before I started the fast. It's easy to reach the bottle, but if it was a pill that kept me alive, I would take it. This is just a pill to relieve my pain. I can deal with the pain and give God the opportunity to take away the pain. And it's amazing how it's helped me. You might want to try that, you know, see how it works for you. I do take it occasionally, you know, if I'm going someplace and I know that I'm going to be using my hand a lot, that it's going to bother me and I need my hand to work for me, I'll take it. But the point of it all is to look for occasions where we can worship and celebrate God in the midst of what we're doing. A sacrifice of praise that we can give to Him. God gives us joy. There's a time to rejoice collectively as a family. And that's what we're doing today. We're collectively rejoicing as a family. It says the women and the children also rejoice. So that it's time for a whole family to rejoice. Get your family. If something good's happening, get your family together and rejoice about it. And we as a family here at New Beginnings Church are rejoicing today. It's time to be loud before the Lord. Not only do some of you have trouble lifting your hands, you have trouble lifting your voices. That is not a problem with Charles. Charles has no problem lifting his voice, and I love it. Because it makes, you know what? The louder you get, the louder I get. There's something encouraging about our voice shouting unto the Lord. Shout. There's a song that was popular several years ago. It's still kind of popular. It's Shout to the Lord. You know, it's something about using your voice and your hands and your entire being to worship the Lord. Dancing, spinning, doing crazy stuff. Say, well, that's insane. Sure, it's insane, but it's also very liberating. It'll do things. You know, Ronald Reagan said the outside of a horse does a lot of good things for the inside of a man. I'm telling you that the outside of you, worshiping, praising God, will do a whole lot for the inside of you. It'll make you. Remember David? David danced before the Lord. Said he danced with all his might. And his wife said, are you lost your mind? you know, you're the king and you're doing this in front of people. Don't do that. And David said that he would not stop doing what he was doing. He was worshiping God. You know who the biggest critic of your worship is? You. Because you say, well, it's foolishness. You know, remember that the foolishness of God is the wisdom of man. All right? So it is foolishness. And we're going to do some foolish things here today in just a few minutes. So just get prepared to be foolish. We're going to give an offering, and we're going to dance. We're going to have some lively music to do it. And some of you said, well, I just can't do that, Pastor. It's not me. It's not my style. Well, maybe your style needs to change. We're going to give you an opportunity to do it today, all right? So I'm just preparing you for a time of celebration and worship. If you do something today that you normally won't do, you'll remember it and you'll do it again, okay? The first time is always the hardest. So the fast has made our hearts free from earthly desires. We put earthly desires on the side. We overcame our desires. No, we didn't overcome our desires for meat. We just wouldn't let our desires for meat overcome us. So there's been no steak. Did I tell you about the master chef that I watched cook a steak? Yeah, you got to be crazy to be me. I was looking for something, how to do something around the house, and I went to YouTube, and in the midst of that was this master chef showing you how to cook a steak. And I looked at it. You got to be crazy to do that. What he did was so amazing that the smell and the taste came out of the computer screen and got inside of me. It was amazing. When he got finished cooking that thing and he took one of those big knives that the chef used and he cut that thing, I mean, the redness of it, the aroma of it, the juices pouring out. And I just, I tried to lick the screen almost. It was so good. No, that's what I did. But we put that aside, you know, no salmon, no fish, no crawfish, no chicken, none of those things. But today is a new day. In just about probably 30 minutes, we're going to be free from that. We overcame the worldly chains that bind us. A fast breaks the chains. Say, well, I didn't see any chains fall off of me. If you've been fasting, those chains have been broken off of you. You know, you started the process. We've overcome a selfish mindset. Our body demands stuff. We put selfishness on the side so that we could worship God and polish our spiritual mirror, if you will. Okay? So, they sacrificed, and we're going to sacrifice. They offered praise. We're going to do that, but we're also going to offer one of the best ways we can with our finances. Now, you know, as a pastor, I very seldom talk about money around here. We don't pass the basket. There's a box back there. You want to give, you give, as the Lord leads you to do it. But I think because we fasted and we prayed, the admonition from Jesus was, he said, when you fast, when you pray, and when you give. So it was obvious he expected us to do all three. So we've done the first two, and we're going to do the third one right now. So I'll get my, this is the male version of Vanna White, is going to bring up the basket in the little stool up here, as we need it. We're going to set it right here in the front. And Jim's going to crank up some giving music. Now, Ro wrote a song, but he's not here to sing the song. So we've got a substitute song. And we're going to come down the middle aisle, put your gifts, your financial gift, whatever the Lord's given you, just put it in the basket, and we're going to rejoice while we do it. Yes, sir.
You brought something out on me. I have to say something.
Okay. All right, good. Well, let me get a microphone for you because I want people to hear you.
I'll be surprised.
All right.
Trust me. You know that I fell one Sunday and the second Sunday. The first Sunday, if it wasn't for Nick, it would have cost me a bundle. Second Sunday, I left in the ambulance. Spent 2 days in the hospital. But what y'all don't know, people's health has cut me off. Not because I was on Medicaid and medication because of the accident I had back in 2007. I got regular insurance now, which is okay. But that last day when the ambulance took me to the hospital, it was $2,027.
Oh.
Or $2,227. I only paid my minimum of $25. And the end of my insurance is the end of this month, June the 30th, or January the 31st. They paid $2,000 and something on my insurance. I was devastated because I thought I had to pay it. But people's health let it go over another month. January, they took care of it. Praise the Lord on that. He was looking out for me as he looks out for every one of us.
Amen. Amen. Good testimony. Thank you. Hallelujah. All right. So y'all ready? Okay, let's everybody stand up. Get your offerings ready. Jim, strike up the orchestra.
It's time to take a little break and give unto God from the money we make. Get out your wallet, your checkbook too. Now don't be stingy, not don't be cheap.
Tithes and offerings. Tithes and offerings. Tithes and offerings.
Okay, Sydney, tell us about Ananias.
A certain man named Ananias, with his wife, they sold their land. They kept back part from what they said, but don't you know they both turn up dead.
Tithes and offerings. Tithes and offerings. Tithes and offerings.
About the widow, Kathleen.
A poor widow threw into mine. The Lord said she gave more than the rest. For you gave from your great abundance. But she did cast in all that she had.
Tithes and offerings. Tithes and offerings. Tithes and offerings.
Becky, what about that cheerful giver?
Every man give accordingly to his purpose in his heart. Now grudgingly of necessity, a God he loves a cheerful giver.
Tithes and offerings. Tithes and offerings. Tithes and offerings.
just sent that song over the internet to Jim. We just got it, he said. So we had something else. So we had Rose's original song. Amen. That was fun. That's the most some of you moved in a year. Very good, very good. Okay. So this is just a special offering, and we'll use it as the Lord leads, and I'll tell you how much it is later. I don't know, because I'm not going to count it right now. Okay. There we go, James. Second thing is, we celebrate because the victory has been won. Amen. Nehemiah 8, 10, 12. Nehemiah said, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. Now, there's a good thing. He said, go out and eat and drink, and if somebody doesn't have anything, just give it to them. This day is holy to our God. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The Levites calmed all the people, saying, be still, for this is a holy day. Do not grieve. Then all the people went away to eat and drink, to send portions of food, and to celebrate with great joy, because they now understood the words that have been made known unto them. They labored. They did the job. They did it by families. They prayed. They remembered God. The laborers labored. Some people fought. And they did what they needed to do in order to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. The time of sorrow and want has turned to a time of joy. Take your sorrows, put them aside, and start a spirit of joy radiating within you. Jesus built you up as Israel built the temple of God. They built a physical temple. You're building your own spiritual temple by fasting and praying and dancing and celebrating and rejoicing. The enemy thought that they could destroy the Jews in the work that they were doing. Sanballat, Tobiah, who are types of demonic forces, came against them. They laughed at them. They called the magistrates against them. They did everything they could to stop the building of the wall. Nehemiah said, remember your God and fight for your families. We need to do some fighting for our families, and that's one of the things that fasting does for us. You know, it's a time of warfare, spiritual warfare. So don't let the enemy rob you of what God wants to do in your life. Don't be a victim, be a victor. Don't walk around saying, oh, you know, you won't believe what the devil did to me. You know, I don't care what the devil did to you. What I do care about is what did you do to the devil?
Amen.
You know, what did you do to him? I just read something somewhere that said that what we ought to do is when you get out of the bed, I can't use the word that was used because it was a mild profanity, but the devil makes an exclamation like, oh, no, they're up, you know? And so when you move and live and have your being in Christ, the enemy fears you. You are mighty in God. You have power and authority, and we need to learn how to use that power and authority. You know, when things happen, don't just take it and lie down and let it happen. Use your scripture, use your who you are in Christ, and fight back against the enemy. Don't let him rob and steal the work that God wants to do in your life. And everyone receives spoils of a victory. You know, there was a situation when Israel won a victory and they had some spoils. And some of the people who didn't fight shared the same in the spoils. So God is really good about that. Sometimes we can't fight. I understand that. Sometimes we're down and somebody needs to war for us. But we all share the spoils of victory. No, that's what God wants us to do. Those who had plenty shared with those who had little. The grief of fasting is replaced with the praise of plenty and victory. Let me say that again. The grief of fasting is replaced with the praise of plenty and victory. Now, you might say, well, Brother Morris, I don't see anything. Remember a couple of weeks ago, and I'm going to talk about it again next week? Open your eyes, folks. Just open your eyes. Start looking for the hand of God. Stop looking for the hand of the enemy and start looking for the hand of God. and say, God, okay, I know you're going to do something. I believe it. I trust you. And, Lord, I don't know when it's going to be and where it's going to be, but I'm going to praise you until and I see it. And after I see it, I'm going to praise you some more. You know, and trust God to intervene. We are not helpless in the kingdom. We are not helpless, and we need to learn how not to be helpless and be victors. All of the images, when it talks about us in spiritual warfare, are images of a warrior. And we are warriors and warriorettes for you ladies, all right? We're all warriors. For the, not warriors, but warriors. All right? Don't be a warrior, but be a warrior. Dress yourself in the full armor of God. Lift up that shield of faith and lift up the sword of the Lord. Get yourself protected with the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation and the belt of truth and your feet shod with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, whenever you dress yourself that way, look at yourself in the spiritual mirror and it'll scare you. That's how fearsome you look. All right? You look fearsome as a warrior for God. And warriors go to battle. And warriors for the Lord win victories, all right? Whenever you worship God, send praise first. You send Judah first. You're well equipped for battle, and you can war against the enemy and the things that come against you in your life. God has seen your fasting. He has heard your prayers, and he has seen your giving. And the Lord is well pleased. I believe that. I believe God is pleased. Listen, I'm pleased, and I'm not your God. I'm just your pastor. You imagine how much more so God is pleased. Jesus looked at his son. You know, this is my beloved son, and whom I am well pleased. You are in Christ, and when God sees you, he sees his son. And he says, I'm well pleased. I'm well pleased in what you've done. Now, let me put a parenthesis here because I think it's important for some of you to hear. Some of you didn't fast. Some of you couldn't. You know, some of you didn't for whatever the reasons. That does not deny you of the spoils of victory because we have fasted. That's what these scriptures show, that those who didn't have anything received from those who did. So we pass on to you. If you didn't do it, just receive the blessings as if you had because that's what we want to do. This is not just to hoard it, but to share it. Okay? Remember when Israel was being attacked and they were surrounded and they were starving to death and they didn't have any food and a couple of guys said, let's go to the enemy's camp. You know, if they kill us, you know, what difference does it make? We're dying anyway. And they went and they found the enemy had left. There was food and gold and water and everything that they needed. And they sat around and fed their face and enjoyed themselves. And they said to themselves, you know, it's not right for us to stay here and just have this for ourselves. Our brethren are starving. And so they went and got them so that they could enjoy the bounty. I'm telling you, if you didn't fast, rejoice and receive the blessings as if you had, because that's what the scripture says we're to do. All right? So you received it. That's the little parenthesis that I want to give you. Now, let me encourage you. You say, well, Pastor, I didn't see anything. I didn't witness to anybody. You know, I can't tell any evidence in my life that anything happened. Contrary, my dear friend, you're looking with the eyes of the flesh. This fast has residual value. And it doesn't diminish, it grows. So throughout this year and beyond, actually, be looking for God's miracles and God's presence to show up in your life. And when it happens, I want you to remember that I told you it would happen. Our prayers, the prayers we utter, are still heard in the throne room of God. There's no end to them. They always resound. God always hears our prayer. You know, there was a movie that I'm not necessarily endorsing, but it was with James Carey, I believe, Jim Carrey. And God gave him the job of being God for a while, and he was trying to answer prayers. And you remember he was sitting at an old teletype, and he was the prayers were coming in, and he was trying to answer them, and he couldn't. And the paper was flying out of the machine, you know, with all the prayers on it, and just overwhelming him. Well, that's the way our prayers are. They're just going into heaven. they're going constantly in all of our prayers together and fasting and our giving and our worship and our praise is always before the Lord. He hears us. He knows about us. And this will continue on. So don't say the fast is over and the blessings are over. I believe the blessings are just going to start beginning now. So, now you've done your part. But let's rejoice in the part that Jesus has already done. His works are your works. What he did, you have done. He said, I am in you and you are in me. We are heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Whatever his inheritance is our inheritance, all right? That's what the scripture said. His sacrifice is your sacrifice. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. We have crucified the flesh. We have put it aside. We're not dwelling on sin. We're not living in sin. We're living in the victory of what Christ has done. His praise is our praise. The Father is pleased with you. He's pleased with what you've done. And as a matter of fact, he's so great, he's pleased at what you haven't done. He's pleased at what you haven't done. What does God demand of you? He demands that you believe him, that you trust him. That's it. That's the demand. And he blesses you. You are his beloved children. As a parent, we take care of our children. We do whatever that we need to take care of our children. And God does whatever he needs to do to take care of us. So we're going to sing a song of praise. What we're going to do is we've got a video that I want you to see. And this is not new to you. I think you'll like it. It's a song. It's a sacrifice of praise by Don Moen. And after that, then we're going to receive communion and break our fast. So Jim, why don't you play that video for us? David Arrow, can I get you to come move this podium over to the side for me? It's a good way to break a fast with communion. It's a gift that Jesus gave to us, and he said that when we receive this, and I know I say this each month, and I don't get tired of saying it, so I hope you don't get tired of hearing it. It's not about remembering our sins. You know, the scripture's been misinterpreted and really been, it's been an abusive way that it's been misinterpreted. It tells us that to make sure that you don't take communion in an unholy manner, and you've been taught, and it's been taught that means to make sure you confess your sins. It actually says to discern the body. Are you of the body? Are you a believer? If you're a believer, your sins are forgiven. And what Jesus admonishes us to do is to remember him. So when we receive communion, I want you to remember him. And don't be worrying about sins. You couldn't confess all your sins if you wanted to, because you can't remember them, all right? But we have Christ's sacrifice for us, all right? So we're going to pray over the elements, Miss Pat. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this bread. As always, it's unleavened, which speaks of the unsinned Christ who didn't sin. He was the unleavened bread. We ask you to bless it, Father, in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for this cup, this fruit of the vine. We ask you to bless it, Father, in Jesus' name. Its crimson color speaks of the shed blood of Jesus. Amen. Amen. What I'd like you to do is just all stand, come down the center aisle, receive the elements, and then go back to your seat, and then we'll all partake together. Okay? Thank you. so that we could have them today. And Paul wrote, he said, "For I received from the Lord that which also passed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" So I'll partake of the bread. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's all drink. "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he returns." Lord Jesus, thank you. We praise you and thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you that you came to this earth, Lord, that you laid down your glory, and you became a man in Bethlehem, conceived in the womb of a virgin. That you were born, that you lived, that you were crucified on a Roman cross, that you became sin for us and took all of the sin of the world upon yourself, and that you gave your life willingly. No one took it from you, but you gave your life willingly, and that you were laid in a tomb, and everybody thought that was the end of it. But on the third day, the stone was rolled back. The grave was empty, for you had risen triumphant. And because you live, we live. Because you're the first fruits of a new species of the second Adam, born again, not of flesh and blood, but of the Spirit of God. And that's who we are, in you. And it's all about you and all about what you've done for us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, and we praise you. In your name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just a couple of words and I'll dismiss this. If you want to go to the Mayor's prayer breakfast, remember not to leave your church without your tickets, because it's going to be Friday and I probably won't see it. So I want to make sure I give you those tickets. We have food. I don't know what's back there, but I'll bet you at one time it crawled on it like a chicken, or had legs like a cow or something. I doubt that it came out of a garden. It may. Yeah, lots of cake. Okay. Sweet food. All right. And also, if you've been fasting, don't go run to the nearest restaurant and try to eat a 2-pound steak. You will make yourself sick. Take a little time with your tummy and just beat it a little bit, because it's going to react to you. Yes?
There's an article in the paper this morning about Somalia, Kenya, the locusts. That's
wow.
The worst. 70
years. Wow.
And people
are
going to starve.
Somalia?
Somalia.
In that part of the world, yeah.
The Eastern
Africa. Okay. We'll pray about that. Amen. Huh? Hallelujah. Father, we close our service. We've done everything we know to do. But the most important thing we did, Father, was we honored you. And thank you for what you've done for us. Father, as we close this chapter or this fast, I ask you to encourage us through the day and the week, and let the residual value of this fast stay with us like a cloak of glory that surrounds us. Father, bless us in whatever we do, our going out and our coming in. Father, cause us to prosper financially, spiritually, emotionally, every way possible, I ask you to prosper us. And Father, I ask you to keep us safe from the wiles of the enemy and give us victory when he shows up, that we might live in victory. We thank you, Father, and we pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen.
Let's pray about that right now. Healing burden is really bad.
Okay. Yeah, okay, thank you. I just ran right by it. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for that part of the world around Somalia, where they're having the locust infestation. Father, and I think about this disease that's going around the world. I came out of China. We ask you to intervene, Father, that no harm would come to us, that you would protect us from all evil. Father, you're the one who provides a harvest in the midst of famine. Father, I ask you to show up and sow yourself strong, that the people of Somalia and other parts of the world would know that you are the only true God and that Jesus, your Son, is the way, the truth, and the life. Father, we believe you to do that. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name.